So, guys, before Justin, it's absolutely fine to grab drinks and get yourself comfortable. That's fine. Whoa. So before Justin comes up, I just wanted to frame up. He wants to speak on life and immortality tonight. I don't know if any of you guys know this version of the Bible called The Voice. It's just the New Testament, but it's really juicy. It's like the language it uses is fantastic. It just gives you another angle, you know? So I just wanted to read Philippians 3 to you guys, okay? So listen to the words.
Wow.
When it counts, I want to be found belonging to him, not clinging to my own righteousness based on law, but actively relying on the faithfulness of the anointed one. This is true righteousness supplied by God, acquired by faith. I want to know him inside and out.
Wow!
Oh my goodness. I want to experience the power of his resurrection.
Whoa!
And join in his suffering, shaped by his death, so that I may arrive safely at the resurrection from the dead. I'm not there yet, nor have I become perfect, but I am charging on to gain anything. Charging on to gain anything and everything the anointed one Jesus has in store for me. And nothing will stand in my way.
Whoa!
Because he has grabbed me and won't let me go. Brothers and sisters, as I said, I know I have not arrived, but there's one thing I am doing. I am leaving my old life behind, putting everything on the line for this mission. I am sprinting toward the only goal that counts, to cross the line, to win the prize, and to hear God's call to resurrection life found exclusively in Jesus the Anointed. All of us who are mature ought to think the same way about these matters. If you have a different attitude, then God will reveal this to you as well. For now, let's hold on to what we have been shown and keep in step with these teachings. I'll skip on, but we are citizens of heaven. We are citizens of heaven.
Woo!
Exiles on earth, waiting eagerly for a liberator, our Lord Jesus the Anointed, to come and transform these humble earthly bodies into the form of his glorious body by the same power that brings all things under his control.
Wow.
So I hope that frames up what Justin's going to bring tonight. So Justin, over to you, babes.
That's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Whoa. Thank you, Father. Oh, okay. Thank you, Jesus. Shika, basket, HK. Father, I pray right now for energy in the spirit. So we just come into the energy. You know, Paul said that that God's grace was an energy. Says God's grace works in me. It's not I that's working, it's his energy. And the word is actually where we get the word energy from, if you look it up. And there's an energy realm that we are going to begin to live in. And that energy realm is essential for the manifestation of sonship. There is no manifestation of sonship apart from life and bringing life to all creation, which means everyone in this room and everyone in the church is going to have to shift how they see life and death, because all of creation is waiting for us to reveal the freedom from decay and death. That's what Romans says. And all the years growing up in the church, all I heard was it was freedom he set us free. But free into what? Free from death. Free from sin. And free from the platforms of death. And the energetic structure and the world called death into life. Whew. So, some people don't wait for times and seasons. And history is full of those who didn't wait for times and seasons. They believed and stepped in by faith. Okay? And yet, in God's sovereignty, there are times and seasons. And he releases truth through people from the revelatory realm of heaven to frame up possibilities, or in other words, to bring repentance because the people are not thinking like God. So he releases prophets in stages in history to bring a deeper level of repentance. Because repentance means to change the way you think. And scripture says, repent because the kingdom of heaven's at hand. So the kingdom of heaven being at hand means there are consequences to what Jesus has done that are beyond salvation. Because he's saying to a group of people that are already saved, they've still got to change their thinking. And it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So your mind is what's stopping your transformation. And that's the principles and powers that you're up against. Principles. Principalities are principles, energetic patterns of thought that you have within you that prevent you from manifesting reality. So it's actually the principles of faith in an inferior. And each generation, the Lord in his sovereign grace releases prophetic voices to frame up the possibility, because when the idea comes, the actuality follows. What do I mean by that? I mean that when the Lord started releasing the prophetic movement, or let's go with speaking in tongues, in Azusa Street with William Seymour and before him others, there were always people that spoke in tongues in history. But there was a moment where the truth pervaded the church, and then speaking in tongues became an actuality. So it became a common grace. And then in history, there were people that started to frame up in the 1950s, the prophetic, and into the 80s. And now we've gone from a few people, if you study books, in the 1950s, they said only when the Spirit came on you could you prophesy, and only when he spoke and then it lift off you, and that was it. But now we know that we can all prophesy. We stir up the gift within us. That it's all about our intentions and our heart. When we look through the lens of love, words follow. So we've discovered the science of prophecy. When we used to think you had to meet a healing evangelist to do healings, but now we know there's a common grace on healings because we are all healing. We've seen a number of significant healings over the last couple of weeks as we went out into the marketplace and believed the gospel. So believing, faith bypasses effort. Faith bypasses the normal protocols. Yeah? So David, by faith, took the showbread. He bypassed the regulations of saying this is only for the priests, but he saw a higher truth and he lived in that higher truth, and he wasn't put to death for things that other people were because he was living out of a higher truth. So he ate the bread and he was able to engage beyond the veil, even though that wasn't his function, because he was meant to be a king. But he understood the priesthood of all believers, and he'd seen a truth. And he had the Holy Spirit before the Holy Spirit had been given. So he was tasting of the power of the age to come. So you can taste of the power of the age to come. Whew. So, massive changes are going on right now, and I spoke about it beyond human, genetically, technology, on every front. The world that we know is changing. The Lord spoke to me and said, we're in the era of forced change. And he said, do you know what that means? And I said, no. And he said, it means change beyond your ability to cope with. That there's a way of coping with change which is coming into him again. into rest, into union, into the name. And that will unlock transformational technology. That will unlock pace-setting technology. That will unlock light. And light is what the world's been waiting for. Within that light is a record of life. It says, in your light we see life. With the fountain of life we see light. There's light and life go together. And I'm going to begin to talk about this and I'll come back to it over and over again. We're going to hit it over and over again until it starts to manifest in you, because I've seen a reality from the Lord that is a grace that's been released now. And because you hear it, faith will come by hearing the word, and it will become a possibility within you because you're going to repent and go to a higher perspective on the issue of life, aging, tiredness, energy, health, and wholeness. And this is not just me speaking. This is actually going across the earth by many prophets that weren't even connected. I mean, I started talking about it before I met Ian. I hadn't even met Ian. I started talking about it before I'd heard of Kirby and before Nancy. And now we've had the honor of meeting people that are manifesting the substance and reality of it. But I believe it's a grace, okay? And I'm going to go at it in so many different angles, and you're going to learn this, that it functions entirely by grace. It's a grace. In fact, where you've got legalism and works in your mind, you are in unbelief. And it's producing death in you. The fruit of unbelief is death. You'll find this, because as we go into it, you're going to feel what the energetic framework of life feels like, and you'll realize it's intrinsically connected to how you see the world. Because if you frame up over you a canopy of death through your words, you will eat of the fruit of your words. I'm tired, I'm sick, I'm all these other things. Create an energetic framework, I'm old. Create an energetic will that you see yourself, which is actually faith in an inferior definition of who you actually are. You are not standing fully identified in the new creation. You are standing identified in the old, and you've allowed your ethnicity, gender, and nationality to frame up your reality, which means you're still in the matrix. And we've had generations after generations that have been in the matrix, and the Lord is challenging the matrix on a level we've never seen before. And Bob Jones saw this was going to happen. Bob Jones said, we need to repent to see the glory come. And I filtered that through a paradigm of, oh, people need to deal with their sin issues. No, it's the beliefs that's the root of the issues. It's the way they see is producing the world that they live in. And if we think that it's going to continue as it is right now, that is what we'll eat of. We'll eat of the fruit of our beliefs. Okay, so the status quo has been fundamentally challenged, and you are powerful to think what you want or remain where you want. And for some of you, it may be very difficult to transition. For some, it may be easy to transition. But that's okay, because we are going to transition. We are going to transition. It is going to come. And do not look at your performance for the plumb line on this. Because the moment you look at your performance, you've come back under the law. And what does the law produce? Death. It's called the law of sin and death. The law came to bring death, but Jesus Christ came to bring life. You will realize as we go into a kainos era, a new creation, that's what the word kainos means. As we go into that era, you will progressively move away from law. Because law will tether you to the natural realm. The law will anchor you in what is possible apart from God. The law was about what you could do apart from him. I've chosen not to lie. I've chosen not to kill. It was I. The new covenant is I no longer live. Christ lives in me. It's the end of I. It's the co-crucifixion of everything that defined you and framed up your world. Which means you will become progressively happier and freer and more intoxicated, because you will be weaned off religion, which is death. The fruit of religion is death. Every legal system that we frame up around us of our own performance is death. It's the wrong tree. And we've been eating from the wrong tree because we've had a message of salvation, not metamorphosis. We've not embraced as he is, so are you. And we've limited through energetic words how far someone can go, but that is breaking across the earth. And for this generation come in, there will be no walls. There will be no boundaries because those walls are coming down with the force of angels and the shout of trumpets and the release of David's tent. Jericho's collapsed before us and the playing field is wide open. And that playing field is called grace. And we are being invited to defy the conventions of what have been framed up. See, speaking in tongues looked completely impossible until it broke open. And now, you know, I used to run a church in the workplace and we had 12 different denominations that would come to our meetings. All of them could speak in tongues. Because it exists as an energetic concept that allowed them to take that leap. You know, we were driving to the conference the other day and Sam and I said, let's just speak in tongues together. Sam says, I can only do it really quietly. Just do it really quietly. And we would just shagada bashukaba. And there was an ease because a grace has come. See, there wasn't works. He isn't pressing in for hours, tarrying for the gift of tongues. That's a truth. That's a truth. You can tarry for it. But there's a higher truth, is that you can step in by faith and decree it and speak it and it starts to function in you. Because according to your faith, let it be done to you. See, he's growing up in a generation where I'm not saying you have to go to a tarrying meeting for the next month to get the gifts of tongues. He's growing up in a generation that says, you're in him, he's in you, go for it. Go for it. Mystic union, you're in him and he's in you. And they are empowered. They are empowered. They are, you know, we believe for the finances for beyond human. It didn't make natural sense. But, you know, God, like, provided. We opened up one of the tins in the house, and like I said, there was £1,000 in there. And I knew the Lord himself was saying, I'm with you. I'm with you. You know, and then we had, like, donations come in and covered all the costs of the Philippines and everything else. And, you know, I had in my mind an amount that I wanted, but I didn't really pray into it. I believed. There's a huge difference in how you live in this world. Because praying is often anchored in unbelief. Praying is often anchored in an inferior concept of his goodness. And I'm a man of prayer. I'm not diminishing prayer. I'm challenging the way we're praying and how we pray and how we frame up reality. All good so far? Everybody okay? We're really going to go on a journey with this because I've seen the platform of grace where life lives. And we're going to progressively move out of law and works. And we have to. And it's going to change our language. It's going to change the way you speak. You cannot be, in this era, grumbling, complaining, moaning, criticism cannot exist in this arena. And you'll realize why. Because the moment you speak it and breathe it, you've breathed death. You have inhaled a cancer stick. It's literally a different world that we've got to come out of. And there's grace if we make mistakes, but you're going to be able to feel the difference on the energy. You're going to be able to feel that, man, my spirit dropped when I spoke that word. This isn't the era of griping and complaining. This isn't the era of criticism. This is the era of grace unto it and grace unto it. And we're with you all the way. We're going with you and we're going together and we're going as one and we'll take hits for each other and we will love and there will be no record of wrongs. When we hold a record of wrong, we come under the testimony of death. Because remember, it says, if you come under law, you're judged under the entirety of the law. I know I'm challenging you, but what I'm challenging you is how big your heart can be, and we need bigger hearts. Because one time I was in Scotland, I started running around going, this house is too small. This house is too small. And I thought the room was too small for the Holy Spirit. And Clayton was there and he turned to me and said, that's your spirit speaking to your body. Your heart's too small. Okay. So I'm just saying right now, step into grace. Your performance is not going to take you into a new creation. Your efforts are not necessary. It's through believing in what he has fully accomplished for you. But I want to propose to you that we have diminished what he has accomplished on the cross, that we've made it so small, so insignificant, that we've not seen the fullness of the outcome of it. But there's a generation rising now that want to see reformation of creation. To see reformation of creation, your body has to change. It has to. There's the logic to the gospel. Your body is the front line of reformation. Your body is priceless. Your body is so priceless that Jesus came back for his body, and I teach on this. Jesus came back. He could have just appeared with different bodies, but he didn't. He wanted his original body. Moses got his body back. Enoch kept his body. Elijah kept his body. A bunch of people got re-resurrected. You get resurrected because there's a purpose to the body, and we've diminished that, and we've said the body is unclean, and we've said the body should die, and we've wanted it to get rid of it, but that is not the gospel. The gospel is that life swallows up death, and that your body is his temple. Your actual physical body is the temple. So that must be pretty valuable. So why have we decided that we'll consign it to the grave? Is that how we handle his house? See, Enoch defied this, and it all started with me in 2010 when the Lord just spoke to me spontaneously and said, I tell you a mystery, not all of you will die. He was quoting Paul. So in 2010 at our slosh fest in Barrie Island, I preached a message called, We Shall Not All Sleep. Little did I know, within 3 months of that, I would be standing face to face with Enoch and my world would unravel as I drank his wine and all my connections and life would change. And that within 5 years, I'd be teaching on technologies that I had no idea of. Whoa. I guess this is a kind of introduction, just shifting a little bit into something that I've tasted and seen. I've seen, by faith, Enoch skip death. One translation says, faith kept Enoch from dying. So faith is greater than death. See, do you know, all you'd have to do to see so many people's lives transformed, all you need to do is stay alive. Stay alive. You know, I was with Dr. O in South Africa, and he'd just come from Chicago, and he met two men that were 200 years old in Chicago. They walked up to him, they knew who he was, and they introduced themselves and said they were those that remain, and they were interceding in the States. See, I spoke on it at Beyond Human. I hope you've caught it, that we're not in a day where God is secretly coming. We're in remember, it's the arise and shine. See, we've been praying these things. We've been praying, let it be on earth as it is in heaven for 2,000 years. Now, let me ask you, is anyone dying in heaven? So why should we be shocked that life comes on earth? See, we have to have a logic on this. We have to have a logic of where the gospel's ultimately going to go. Because if we've all set it up, it's filling churches and people getting saved, we've demeaned the gospel. We have not made it victory. We've made it a lifeboat. To get you until death qualifies you for heaven. And religion's happy with that because remember, religion is the order of death. And it's actually religion that's framed that up around us as a system called the Matrix. Because religion thrives off putting all the promises into an era for which you have no personal responsibility. Everybody okay? I know my words are heavy and impacting, but just take your hits. Take your hits. because it's good medicine. And I won't go on too long because I'm on a journey with you guys. And if you'll come on this journey with you, I will. We have stood here for 10 years. We're not going. We're in it. We're in it. And I believe even from, like, I know, like, from the conference this weekend, that things that are on my life were going on other people. Energy, like you said, Mum, you didn't have lunch. And Janine said she had such energy. And we heard from lots of people they had energy. Some didn't have energy. And you have to ask, what is it that needs to shift into that energetic framework? Because that's the technology we need. That you will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not be faint. That even the young faint. But if you wait upon the Lord, you will renew your strength. That realm of strength. Oh, the strength of God is what's coming. That's the spirit of Elijah. There can be no future apart from the spirit of Elijah. The question is, are you going to engage this or wait for it to be out there? Or are you going to engage it for yourself? Because I know that I'm done with decay. I'm done with death. See, you know, as Christians, we have these beautiful funerals where Christians die. And I've been to some great Christian funerals. But isn't there a sense, even in a great Christian funeral, that it would have been way better if they just stayed with us and they were young again? I mean, let's be honest about it. No one's ever thought that was awesome. What everybody's thought is why? And that is a question coming from heaven now, and Enoch's appearing across the earth. And, you know, one of the reasons Enoch's appearing is because what was on his life was saved up until a generation far in the future. And it says in the book of Enoch that his book was hidden. And it was only rediscovered in the late 1700s. And it's only now going around the earth. There's more and more people are realizing this truth in it, which is this, that what he walked in was for a company of people that by faith would walk in it as well. It says that in Jude, he quotes the book of Enoch. Jude quotes that book and he says that Jesus is going to come back with 10,000 mighty ones. Who are the 10,000 mighty ones? 10 is government multiplied. Remember, 10 throughout scriptures, government is saying he's coming with a governmental body that know how to come from the realm of heaven. It's the same verse as Colossians 3 where it says, when he appears, you will appear with him. So that seems to be there'll be a lot of people like Enoch. That seems to be there'll be 10,000, which is a mystical number. It's a parabolic number of governmental people multiplied that when he appears, you will appear. So that means there's going to be people that know how to take their body into heaven. And Jesus did it. Jesus took his body into heaven, his physical body, and sprinkled his blood on the altar. Human blood went into heaven on the altar. That's what scripture says. That he took his body into heaven. And as Bill Johnson has said, the pattern or blueprint is not Jesus before the cross. It's Jesus after the cross. And we have to shift where we've drawn the line. Because the new creation was revealed after the tomb. Remember, he came out of the tomb as the firstborn of a new species. So it was after the tomb that we see the fully revealed kainos creation operating in someone. And what have you got? A man that appears and disappears and teaches them about heaven for 40 days, which means a generation. That's parabolic language to say that the end will be framed up by a generation that shift dimensions, move dimensions. The logic's there is that we've allowed our brains to think about heaven, so we've set our mind on things above, consider those things above, think those thoughts above, and we've allowed our spirits to engage above, and we feel the presence, and like Jane was saying in this whirling, that was her spirit, but we've drawn the line at the body shifting. Enoch and Elijah mark a different type of people. And I'm going for the shift dimensional technology. And it's opening, man. There's sometimes I wonder what's going to happen. I've had my skin ripple. I've had it shine. I've had it do all kinds of weird stuff. But I know that we have to keep pushing the boundaries of what is possible because we have to see the world changed. And the world is not going to get changed through more of what we've done. We have to draw a line to say more of what we've done is all it's doing is we're managing to capture some of the fish, but it isn't enough for what we need. There has to be something beyond it where the evidence of the resurrection is irrefutable. See, it says that when Jesus came, he gave irrefutable proofs of the resurrection. I want to propose to you that the marker of our generation is your body will demonstrate irrefutable proofs of the resurrection. That your body is his temple and he is going to cover it with glory and grace unto it and grace unto it. And he is going to demonstrate that not that death wins over life, but life swallows up death. Which means your body is the front line of transformation. And the implications are huge. And it's already happening with people like Nancy Cohen, who hasn't been ill for 36 years, and another friend that I know who went through a major trauma, major illness, and had a revelation she didn't have to live in illness and hasn't aged or been sick for 16 years. And she's got a very youthful face. She doesn't even tell people publicly. This is something she told me in private, that she hasn't aged or been sick in 16 years. See, I had to learn how to be in it because I'd be so ill after going on long-haul flights. And I had to learn, is there an energy I can be in? And that energy is the seat of love and grace and rest where you're enjoying him and you're drinking from the river of his pleasures. And in his pleasure is life. One of the reasons the church is dying, they don't drink the river of pleasure. Pleasure, the river of pleasure is literally the word Eden Springs. And in Eden, there was immortality. One of the reasons the church is dying, it doesn't understand that God is fun. That he is pleasure, that he's meant to be enjoyed. And because they won't enjoy him, they die. Because the river of pleasure, which is the river of grace, is the river of joy. And joy is good medicine. Joy brings health to the bones, according to Scripture. Strong drink, it says in Proverbs, is given to the perishing. And we have been perishing, but we refuse the drink because we have been under the spirit of grumpy. Which is actually pride. Pride has many faces. One of them is the spirit of grumpy. I'm too amazing to laugh right now. I'm too important to laugh. Whew. When joy is the most serious business of heaven. And it says, with joy you will drink from the wells of salvation. Why are we not seeing our bodies saved? We're not drinking from the wells with joy. We're not drinking with a thankful heart. Do you know that a complaining heart opens up the doorway of death, but thankfulness keeps the door of life open? Did you know that thankfulness keeps the spirit realm open? When you sit there and you start thanking him for when you felt an angel, when you've had this miracle, when you had that, you create this energetic field of life around you. And it begins to sit on you because it has the shadow that it looks for. Woo! Wow! 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 Yay! Woo! She! Wow! Woo! 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 Wow! Woo! Wow! It's the living word. It's the living manna. I am the bread of life, the living bread which gives and sustains life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died.
This is the bread that comes out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread and believes in me, he will live forever. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. But draw a line. That has been 2,000 years. We've believed and died, and we get resurrected. That is awesome. But listen to this. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Have you noticed that living precedes believing in that second clause? What do I mean by that? I mean that you can believe in Jesus and be resurrected, but you're not living in Jesus, because you're still deriding your life from the energetic field of the earth and the food and the sun and the moon and the stars and your organs and your genetics. So you believe, but your source, you're not living in him. See, living in him, crossing that line to living in him, is one thing I learned from Enoch, because I was asking the question, why did Enoch go back into Eden when there was a fiery flame and a sword? And I wrestled with this, and the mystery was revealed to me. And the mystery was this, is that Enoch was willing to leave the things that defined his life. The flame wasn't there to stop you. It was to reconfigure you back to the blueprint. See, you're so attached to the blueprint you've been given for all the years of your life that you can't see another blueprint. But I want to tell you, there is a blueprint that's the real you, the authentic you, the real you, the Genesis that is you. See, you are not revealed in Adam. You are revealed in Christ. He is the true, authentic Genesis of who you actually are. And you've been looking at the wrong mirror. You've been looking at Adam, and we've been framing up Adam, and we've looked at the mirror and seen Adam. And in Adam, we see a pattern of death because he died. Whoa. Yay. Listen to this, 2 Timothy 1:10. Now this grace is revealed. It's a grace. Everyone say grace. 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 You cannot add to immortality. You can just drink immortality. You cannot create immortality. You can only receive immortality. It's a grace. It's an enablement. It's a divine influence. It's a drink. It's a new state or condition of being that comes from union. Whoa. Now this grace is revealed through, listen, I've never heard anyone, growing up in the church, I never heard anyone teach these things, ever. I've had to discover them through being in the Spirit, walking with the Lord, walking with Enoch. I didn't hear people framing it up. Praise be to God that you are hearing it. Praise be to God that you're hearing it, that it's been released upon the earth now. Blessed are your ears, for your fathers wanted to hear this. The Lord spoke to me once and said, revivals keep dying because the leaders keep dying. See, we do not think that God could offend the world that much. He brings immortality, but I tell you, he is going to offend the world that much. You cannot put a level of how good you think God is or how much he respects what we call death. And how much he respects the media and the British government and the American government and how science frames up our reality. God is no respecter of persons. And in these days, we are going to see that he is going to rip through their house of straw and light it up. Their store of death, their store of religion, their store of pharmakia, and all of their genetic modification will be superseded by goodness. Now, this grace is revealed through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus. He destroyed death and brought life And I never heard this word preached. It must have been a forbidden word. Life and immortality into clear focus through the good news. When did they preach on a Sunday service? Oh, you can have him and have life. They never added this. And immortality has come into clear focus. They put a limitation that wasn't in scripture. Wow. I'm having an episode right now. Yeah. An episode of life. Yeah. Life. Yes. A midlife crisis. So you've got to get rid of your Punisher. You've got to get rid of your Punisher. That little punishing devil on your shoulder has to die. That little voice that stops you enjoying the wine and enjoying what he is pouring out, that's been encoded through parents and culture and society, that little punisher that blocks your gateways, a principle that has power. You have to let that principle go to transition. You have to hate that principle. You have to hate that principle and power that has framed up over you a restriction and clothed your new creation life. I give you permission to hate those principles of death. I give you permission to hate those principles of religion and religiously encoded behavior. I give you permission because Jesus hates religion and Jesus came to destroy religion. And that house cannot contain the future. That is the tomb. You are of the womb. You are a new creation. No more in condemnation. The old has gone and the new has come. And you are a holy people, a holy nation. You are holy. He is holy. We are holy. You are holy through and through. Through and through. Holy, pleasing, acceptable, perfect. You are loved. You are loved. You are loved. Shoo, 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 shoo. Shoo. Oh. Whoa. 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 Just let it happen. Just let the energetic field collapse that's held you. The cares and worries of this world that have choked the seed, that have choked the DNA, that have choked the divine you. Let the cares and worries to do with finances, to do with health, to do with friendships, to do with forgiveness, to do with the outcome. Let them shake. Let them break. Let them fall. Let them collapse. Shake it off. Shake it off. That energetic field of decay, that energetic field of death, that belief in an inferior, shake it off, shake it off, shake it off, let it go, let it go. Whoa, yes, 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 for I will shake everything that can be shaken. Whoa, whoa.
Language of life. It is the sacred poetry of the burning heart. Oh,
I hear that phrase today when I was praying, sacred poetry. Sacred poetry is the language of grace, is the language of life. It's time to come back into sacred poetry. And you will begin to recognize which song is right. And you will begin to recognize the words which bring life. And you will begin to know. And you will begin to perceive the record of life or versus death. You will see it and perceive it. For you are awakening even now, says the Lord. I'm awakening your perception of that which leads to life and that which leads to death. I'm awakening you to understand how you frame it up around you and through you and in you. For I am for you, not against you. And I have come to judge not you, but those things that stand in the way of love. For love is stronger than death, and love is stronger than the grave. And I am coming upon you with the language of life, and I am awakening your sacred song, and I am awakening your sacred poetry, and you will know it, and you will perceive it. Father. Well, we're going to take communion now. We're going to engage the record of life that's in communion. Now, this is only one of the ways we can engage life, but I'm going to teach you progressively different ways of doing the same thing until you start to see life framed up in you and you'll notice it. You will begin to see that energy levels increasing. You will begin to understand the technology of your voice. That your voice is very advanced technology, and that the words you create create worlds. And you're going to understand the sacred poetry, and you're going to understand what you actually have and who you are. Overshadowed by love, overshadowed by life. Wow. Wow. Where death is seen. Where death has been a great shadow, they shall see a great light. Thank you, Father. And there's grace on you. There's grace on you. You are under mentorship. You are under government. You are under grace. You are not under law. You are under grace. Your performance ended. It's gone. It's over. You cannot perform into this. You are under great grace now. Now the tutors and governors have done their purpose, which was to bring us to Christ, bring us to the reality, bring us to the substance. God in you and you in him. And now you get to drink. Now you get to feast. Now you get to eat, because as he is, so are you. As he is, so are you. As he is, you have been seeded by Christ with immortal DNA. And all we have to do is cultivate it now. We contend with those things that try to choke it. If you deal with those issues that choke it, the negativity, the wrong canopy, the wrong covering, it will bloom and flourish in you. It will come forth in you. And you'll learn when you need to eat and when you don't need to eat, because you'll find it change. It'll even affect your appetites. Many times I've known I've had to decrease my eating because I'm in energy, I'm in life. And you'll begin to experience this. You'll begin to understand this, that it's not a fasting, it's feasting. It's feasting, and it's so great that that food isn't any contender for this love that you're feasting on, and that the fruit of the Spirit is edible. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness. You can eat it as much as you want, and you will grow strong on goodness and kindness and love. Have you ever noticed that you get energized when you do something good for another person? Have you ever noticed how energized you get? It's because you're eating from the fruit. You're eating from the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience. That's why people laugh and tiredness comes off them. That's why people laugh and tiredness comes off them, because they eat from the fruit of the tree of life, which is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law of death. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. So we're just going to... We've got a whole bunch of biscuits and stuff in this room. We've got these crackers. I love communion with these. There's a lot of seed in it. I love being seeded by God. Seeded by his nature. And we're going to actually just learn how to engage it, okay? So there's juice there, but there's wine there. To the pure, all things are pure, and it's up to you which drink you want to have. It doesn't matter. But what we're going to do is now take... I want you guys to find something that you enjoy, whether it's the biscuit or the cookie or this, or cheese crackers. And I want you to get a little cup. There's cups there. Get some wine or get some juice. And we're going to do an activation now on immortality. Okay? Thank you, Father. Hey. Now, personally, I like the smell of wine. Even the smell of it. Because just personally, and, you know, I take a lot of different types of communion, but I like the thought of God intoxicating me. Shake nashke 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 shika kara basoko robo basoko robo basoko robo basoko robo. Great grace, you know, Winnie Banoff always says grace has to be drunk straight. That no works allowed. We cannot add to the drink. All we can do is receive it. All we can do is drink it. We cannot add to what he has fully accomplished on our behalf. That he has fully accomplished the record of life. That this is going to be an era of great grace. This is going to be an era of where we will fear his goodness. Because we will say the Lord is good and his love endures forever. This is an era where as sin increased, grace increased all the more. Where grace is going to superabound towards you. Superabound towards your finances. In your health and your body, that you will prosper even as your soul prospers. That there is prosperity in the wine, there is prosperity in the bread, there is prosperity in the new covenant. That we get the full blessings of what he has accomplished on our behalf. That he did it for us. Endless love, as vast as the oceans, loving kindness as the flood. You are being drenched. I speak over you. You are being drenched by goodness. Loving kindness will encompass you. Goodness and love will follow you. You are being pressed in on every side by life and love. This is an era of life and love. You're just going to fall into life, fall into love, fall into grace. You can do nothing. You can add nothing. All you can do is drink it. All you can do is receive it. All you can do is believe it. Believe it and enjoy it. Because he is the drink and you thirst. Thank you, your majesty. So we're going to step into that place in the spirit called life. And in that place of life, at wisdom's table, we are going to eat the communion feast. I believe personally that the communion feast is at wisdom's table. It says she has prepared her wine. She's prepared her food. And we're going into a realm of wisdom. And do you know what wisdom brings? Do you know what wisdom brings? It says she brings long life and health. She brings health and long life. She brings riches. She brings wealth and long life. She brings renewal of strength, and wisdom works in the wine. For you are drinking not just wine, you are drinking DNA, which contains knowledge. And you are drinking the knowledge of the sacred, the knowledge of the holy. And you are receiving as a gift what others would pay for, because it's freely given. It's freely given. Yay. And I am framing up over you. Wisdom is building her house, and you are that house. It says in Proverbs, wisdom builds her house. And wisdom's house is a house of prosperity and life. It is a house of longevity. It says, I will give you length of days, wisdom says. I will give you length of days. You are coming into the covering. You are covered. There is not an orphan in this room. You are not coming into the energetic framework called the orphan spirit that says that you have no father. You have a father. You have a mother in the heavenly realms. You are covered. There is no orphan in this room. I see only sons. I see only daughters. I see those that belong, that are family, that are connected, that are in the sacred dance, that are in the sacred song, are in the Trinitarian love affair. The life is swallowing us up. All we have to do is let it happen. All we have to do is let life love us. Let life come and possess us. Let life overmaster us. Whoa. Whoa. Wow. Now, do you remember how I said, oh, there's a few drops. Do you remember how I said that, you know, the posture of joy is a posture of life, that there's energy in joy? One thing we've done in religion is taken the joy out of communion. You know, it was the love feast, and they used to get drunk. Physically drunk, and they had to, one of their letters had to say, look, guys, you've got to pull back a bit from it. We've never had to say letters like that to our churches, because we've turned it into a meal of misery. And do you know what the scripture says? Because we eat it in the wrong way, we have death and sickness. Because do you know what? If you drink this cup in an unworthy manner, you frame up death. And an unworthy manner is when it's under law and your works and your efforts and what you can accomplish. And we've turned it into our legal drink, not a drink of forgiveness, not a drink of grace, not a love wine, not a fellowship wine, not a bridal wine. And we've not seen it for what it is, which is love. Love in a cup. Love in a piece of bread. It is pure love. And this love is actually a technology. It's actually the elixir of life. And you eat it in a worthy manner when you realize you are eating life itself. And he chooses the foolish things to shame the wise, the things that are not to nullify the things that are, that he saves us single-handedly with no effort of our own. All he asks you to do is eat it and believe it, because he knows that's all we're truly capable of. And he gives him great pleasure to pour out the wine. And it gives him great pleasure to pour out the loaf. And he wants you to eat it. He wants you to enjoy it. It's a love wine. And it's meant to intoxicate you. See, we've got a fear of intoxication in the church, because we think it leads to excess. But this intoxication will take you into excessive life. It will take you into excessive grace. It will take you into excessive joy. Whoa! It will untether you. So as we go into this, we have to get the posture of delight. I want you to, before we even eat it, just smell it. Just, you can take a little nibble. Oh, just a little nibble. You have to get in the posture of delight, because you've been called to the river of delight. You've been called to the river of pleasure. You've been called to the river of Eden. You've been called into bliss. You've been called into joy. You are not an object of wrath. You are an object of mercy. Mercy, mercy. Wow. And burning love. And he loves you. And this is a love wine. It's a burning wine. It's a satisfying wine. Intoxicating wine. And right now, by faith, Lord, we honor your body, and we eat it in a worthy manner this day. That we recognize, if God be for us, who can be against us? That he loves us, that even death is inferior. Right now, in your hand, you have the cure to death. You have the cure to sickness. You have the cure to IQ or whatever else you're contending with. And by by faith, Lord, we step into that realm of life and we eat it. Wow, I want you to see it moving into your body now. That all the energy and life that's in it is going into your bones, it's going into your marrow, it's going into your neural pathways. I'm telling you now, we are going to see the end of dementia. There is a realm in the spirit. We were talking about this, Janine. There is a realm in the spirit where dementia doesn't exist, and God's people are going to be of full mind and full quality. Their eyesight is going to be strong. Oh, we come right now. We say neural pathways, you clear right now in Jesus' name. Or every bit of blockage. If you've got heart disease right now, this is going to begin to clear it. Memory issues, sight issues. Orphan spirit is coming off you right now. You are loved. It's not in your future. Into my body. Into my bones. Just see light filling you. Wow. That we are those that live in him. I want you to move from believing in him to living in him. Do you know the difference? Believing, you have time off. Living, you die apart from him. And I'm learning more and more that I cannot live outside of him. Not to do what I'm doing. Not to travel the world and to engage the truths and the stuff we're doing. It is essential to live in him. The days of checking out from Jesus are over. This is the era, the bridal paradigm, the union paradigm, where we really mean this is the air I breathe. Okay, let's come to the wine now. I want you to smell it. I want to tell you something. That when I was in the States, they took me to a beautiful winery, or whatever you call it, vineyard. And they had all these expensive wines on the table and said, we can tell which soil they were grown in, which elevation, which field, which farm, which county, which country. And the Lord began to speak to me. He said, how can you tell that from tasting something? And he said, it's because the knowledge and experience of the grape is encoded into the wine. And that when you drink the wine, you drink its knowledge. You drink what soil it knew. You drink what sunshine it had. You drink what elevation it lived in. And the Lord said that the wine of Jesus is DNA technology. That when you drink this cup, you drink his memories, his thoughts, his intentions, his taste, who he is in the Father, where he came from. And it actually goes into you through taste. And that's why you taste and see. Because sight comes through taste. As we drink this, we're going to drink the life and the memory. Remember, life is in the blood. You are going to drink the record of Jesus Christ, the man that walked on the water, the man that was in the Father, the man that appeared in the Old Testament, the man that he was, the man of love, the man that healed, and the energy and life and intimacy and trust and innocence that he had in the Father, and the health and the joy that he had in the Father comes into you because it's for you. We drink it now. Let it go into my body. Into my body. Life. Life. Engage it. Engage it. I know what you've been taught, but change it. Change the world you live in and the world you see changes. Eat him, drink him, receive it in your DNA, into your body, into your marrow. The memories of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the knowledge of Jesus, you are now drinking wisdom itself. Wow, can you feel your heart expanding? Can you feel your thoughts exploding? You now know things that you didn't know a minute ago. It will come out of you when you're talking to a friend. It will come out to you when you're writing a poem. It will come out of you when you're doing a piece of artwork. You have just been infused with knowledge, infused with wisdom, infused with revelation. It's called the knowledge of Christ. Oh. And I give you permission this night to enjoy him. I give you permission to be intoxicated by him. I give you permission to get lost in the wonder and in the mystery and in the bliss of being permanently, permanently united together with him. In the same way that I can't get that wine out of your body, you're in him and he's in you. It's too late. You drank it. You ate it. It's too late for you. It's too late for us. Wow. 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 And it's too late for the earth, because when his blood was shed on the cross, the earth drank the wine and the earth remembered. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen.